Well, good morning. I just want to introduce our guest speaker today. He is no stranger here. Rob Milliken has preached here before. Rob is with us from England. For those of you who've never met him before, Rob is a retired school teacher, taught in the public school for many years there, and has a number of years' experience in youth ministry and preaching in that region. He currently serves as an elder in Paul's Grove Baptist Church in Portsmouth, England, and he is also my uncle. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you now and praise you because you are always faithful. You will never fail us. We can always count on you. Lord, I pray for Rob that you would speak through him. Use your word. I pray your spirit would open our eyes to things we may not have seen before. I pray that you would give us the courage and the commitment to obey you and take another step towards you. So I pray for your power and presence today. Help us all to take another step towards you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, somebody has to come and keep an eye on Mark. So I have to come over annually. And of course, I leave England. And what do? They appoint a new prime minister. So I don't know what's going on since I've been away. So I'll have to check him out when we go back. Well, it's very good to be with you. Really enjoy coming and sharing fellowship, especially around the Word of God. As you can see on the screen, we're going to have a look at what it means to walk with God by faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. And God, the Almighty Creator God, invites you and me to actually excitingly walk with Him every single day of our life by faith. And today we're going to have a look at what it means to walk by faith through the eyes of Joshua, well-known character. And we're going to have a look at what it means to actually take a massive step of faith, but also walk every single day relying on God. Keep the words of the last song in your mind, because God is faithful to his promises. And so in your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Joshua chapter 23. Joshua 23. One of my favorite athletic things to watch events is the relay race, because it's not down to one person to get the glory and win. It's down to a group who have to work very much together. And the key issue in the relay race is passing on the baton. And I'm sure we've all seen races in which they've fumbled at and therefore hasn't gone well. Passing on the baton well is key to winning. Key to success. And if you were to spend time, when you go home, you put the kettle on to make your cup of tea. While you're waiting for the kettle to boil, if you have a look at chapter 1 of Joshua, you'll find almost exactly the same words in Joshua 1 as we're going to have a look at in Joshua 23. The difference is, in Joshua 1, the baton was being passed from Moses to Joshua. And God was doing that. And now in Joshua 23, which we're going to have a look at this morning, Joshua, now it's his turn to pass the baton on to the next generation. So keep that in mind. It's the passing on. And what he wants to do now is gather the people together. He knows his time is short on earth, and he is about to pass the baton on. And he gives some really great advice on what to do from his testimony, and he now does that. Let's have a look at Joshua 23. It says, after a long time had passed and the Lord had given Israel rest from all the enemies around them, Joshua, by then old and well advanced in years, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, I am old and well advanced in years. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all the nations for your sake. Isn't it great, somebody not blowing his own trumpet, but saying, look to what the Lord has done. It was the Lord your God who fought for you, he says. Verse 4, remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquer between the Jordan, the great sea, and the west. The Lord your God himself will drive them out of your way. He will push them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. Be very strong. Be very strong. Now, we could go home at this point. Maybe you want to. But we're going to have a look to see how we can be very strong. So keep your Bibles open, most of all your hearts and your minds, and let's come before the Lord. Father, we come in complete dependency upon you. Without the Holy Spirit, these are just words. We pray that he will come in power and take the truth, and may that truth set us free. Our chief desire is to point to you, away from ourselves to you. We want you to receive the glory, the attention, the focus. We're so deeply grateful for all you've done for us and in us, and your grace. We pray now that by the power of your Spirit, you'll take words of Scripture and drive them home so that we'll all be very strong. In Jesus' name, amen. So Joshua now, he says these three words, basically sums up what he's passing on in a world that is against God. Yeah, you might have to bring that. In a world that's against God. See, I got him trained. I just clicked the fingers and...
It's not tea.
Not tea. You could have put a bit of tea in there. Tell you, the French get everywhere, the frogs in the throat. So he now says, in a world that is anti-God, and it's very comforting to know that he lived in a world that was against God, not even planning and thinking about God, the same world that you and I live in, and we live in a world that is increasingly not only against God, but doesn't even think about him. And the words of Joshua, in our world, is you can be very strong. And he now gives us seven ways in which we can be very strong. So take this exciting journey with me as we look at Joshua 23. He says the first thing, the first principle for you to be very strong is there in verse 6. Obey God. Obey God. See it in verse 6? It's in your Bible too. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Now, there are no wasted words in the Bible. So let's analyze this together and see what he's actually saying. Look at it. He says, be careful to obey. Why didn't he just say to obey God? He says, no, be careful to obey. Well, the opposite of careful is careless. You see, somebody doesn't become a drug addict overnight. Somebody doesn't become an alcoholic overnight. And neither does anyone backslide overnight. It's a process. And you know how it starts? It starts by being careless. About being careless about listening to God. About being careless about meeting with God's people as a discipline. Not just when it fits into your program. Being careless about what you allow your eyes to feast on. Careless. So that 5-10 years ago, that program you would have switched off, now you sit through it because you've become so affected by the world around you, you think it's okay, it's acceptable. He says, be careful. Because if you're not careful, you'll become weaker and weaker, and you won't last the race. But look again at that verse. What else does he say? Not only be careful, be diligent, be disciplined in meeting with God, in meeting with God's people, in what you allow your mind to be fed with. Don't be careless, he says. Be careful to obey all. See that word? All that is written. Don't just stick with your favorite little verses. One problem with the promise box, it only gives you the nice, comfortable verses. Don't just stick with the nice psalms that make you feel lovely. You need the whole counsel of God. You need the whole diet. He says, be careful to obey everything that God says, even the bit you don't like to hear. And then he goes on. You see that in verse 6? He says, be careful to obey everything. all without turning to the left or to the right. In other words, do not compromise the word of God. It's a really sad state as you look around. Many churches that are beginning to compromise. They think, you know, if we give in with some things, maybe we'll attract more people. Tell you, if you want to be very strong, he says, do not compromise the word of God. Don't water it down. Yes, there is an offense in the gospel. There is an offense in the word of God. But don't water it down. Do not compromise the word of God if you want to be very strong. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You can sing the songs, you can get carried away with them, but the evidence of love is in your everyday obedience. That's the evidence of it. Not being able to recite loads of Bible verses and sing loads of songs. The evidence of love is in obedience. Even when it seems crazy. Think of Noah up on that mountain, building a boat. They thought he'd lost it. Think of the wedding that Jesus went to. The great thing about weddings in those days, you didn't have 2 hours of photographs. But here Jesus was in Cana of Galilee, and the wine runs out. And so they came to Jesus. Of course, he hadn't done a miracle yet. He had no track record with people. And he said something which seemed stupid. Fill the jars with water. It's not water we want. It's wine. Crazy. It took his mother to come and say, look, just do what he says. Just do it. It's not logical. It doesn't make sense, but just do it. What happens? The wine comes. See, obedience to God doesn't follow human logic. It follows a divine path. He says, if you want to be strong, even though it seems crazy, even though everyone else around you thinks you're weird and you're stupid and you've gone, you lost your mind, just do it. Just do it. If you want to be strong, obey God. The second thing he says, if you want to be very strong, is there in verse 7. Do not copy the ungodly world around you. Do you have a look at verse 7? He says, do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. Do not copy the ungodly world around you. When I was a student, I bought a clock. I was in a house where there was a very small room. The bed literally went from one wall to the next. And I bought this clock, but I was very silly because I didn't check it out before I bought it. And when I put it up on the wall, I realized it chimed every half an hour. And so I went to bed that night, then after heart, just beginning to doze off, and this thing went off. Half an hour just dozing off, it went off again. I went to lectures that next day, absolutely wet as a rag. The next day, I was absolutely just walking around like a zombie. But you know the frightening thing? By the third night, I was sleeping like a baby. Do you know why? I got used to it. And sin is like that. We get used to it. Everyone else is doing it, you say, you know, it's just the norm. And what then becomes the norm in Christian circles is not biblical. Don't copy the world around you. Be different. Stand out like a sore thumb. It's a beautiful hymn that says, take time to be holy. Speak oft with your Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. By looking to Jesus, like him you will be. Your friends and your conduct, his likeness shall see. Don't copy the world around you. Be different. Paul, of course, writing to the Romans, says this, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, your mind is where the battle is lost or won, the mind. So the question is, what are you feeding your mind with? Stop feeding the weeds. be careful of what goes in. Because what you think, you are. What you spend your time feeding on through your eyes, through your ears, into your mind becomes you. And your mind then comes down to your heart, and that's you. Joshua says, look, you're going to live in a world that has no time for God. Be different. Do not copy the ungodly world around you. James, writing in his epistle, says this, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Listen, you cannot walk with one foot in the world and one foot with God. That's not walking by faith. Be different, he says, if you want to be strong. The third thing he says to be strong is to cling to God. Have a look at verse 8. Cling to God. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. Cling to God. There's a little sea creature called the limpet, and it's there on the screen. And this limpet is really remarkable. It's only a small creature, but as long as it clings to the rock, no matter what happens to the waves and the sea and the wind, as long as it's clinging to the rock, it will never shift. As long as it's clinging. And if you look at the next picture, you'll see why. Because it has a little suction pad underneath that literally clings to the rock. No matter what comes its way, it never moves. I don't know if you have them over here, but in England, we sometimes have these things you put a bar of soap on. It's like a suction pad. Trouble is, it's too good. Because you go to get the stupid bar of soap, and you end up taking the whole sink off the wall. It clings to it. And that's like the limpet. It clings to the rock. But you know, you can actually, as in this picture, you can actually hold the limpet in your hand. And you know how? Very slowly, very patiently, over a period of time, when that limpet thinks everything is fine, there's no wind, there's no waves, I'm fine, I'm safe, I'm good, you can come up behind it and pick it up. All the time it is not clinging to the rock, it can be taken away. And that's what happens to you and me. We've done that Sunday school class so many times before. We know what to do. We've preached so many times. We know how to do it. And we lose that sense of total dependency upon God. I tell you right now, and I mean right now, England is the afternoon. There is literally an army of people who are praying for this very service. Why? Because we rely on God. Charles Spurgeon, great preacher in London, he always had a group of people in the basement of his church praying every time he preached. It is so easy. Every Monday morning we've done the same routes. We've gone to work the same time, the same way, done the same things. It's so easy to get into this habit of, I can do it. And we lose that sense of clinging to God in total dependency. The moment you lose your dependency on God, your history, you're gone. You've been snatched. Cling to the rock. Don't be so arrogant and proud that you think you can face any single day without God. You can't. Cling to the rock. Some years ago, I took my class from school cycling around Holland. I chose Holland because it was all flat. I also chose it because they have 6,000 miles of dedicated cycle paths. Now, I thought it was a great idea, but when I checked with the authorities, they said, whoa, this is known as a hazardous pursuit. This is dangerous. These kids could get killed. I said, why do you think I'm doing it? And so I was arranging this class, and they said, well, the authority said, you'll have to go into training. We can't just let you loose with 40 kids. So I had to go to the New Forest. It was February. It was snow on the ground. And I had to go through a whole training program. And the inspectors watched me taking 40 people cycling through the New Forest. And they said, yeah, okay, you can go. Yes, it was dangerous. It was very risky. But you know, the most dangerous part of that was not the cycling. The most dangerous, the most stressful part of that trip was getting all these teenagers through the Metro Underground in Russia, in London. How on earth did you get all this lot through without losing any of them when the place is just crowded and heaving with people all going to work? And I said this to them. I said, I don't care if you're 17 years of age. You are going to put one hand on the shoulder of the person in front of you, and we're going to frog march you through London. That's how we got there. You cling to the next person. Get rid of your arrogance, get rid of your pride, and let's do this together. Cling. Never lose, says Joshua, never lose your sense of dependency on God. Whether you're the music team, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, whether you're in any, whatever, even if you're not in ministry, never lose that total sense of dependency upon God. Cling to the Lord. The fourth thing he says is this. If you want to be very strong, verse 11, love God. Love God. Look at verse 11. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. Look at the wording again. Now, this time he doesn't just say be careful. He says be very careful to love the Lord your God. Why does he say that? Well, number one is quite simply this. Our relationship to God is supremely a love relationship. Jesus said the most important commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The reason why the outside world is put off because they see people following a set of rules instead of being passionately in love with Jesus. So why does he say be very careful to love the Lord your God? Quite simply this. You can easily fall out of love. You know it in human relationships. In human relationships, you really have to guard that love. Make time, give time. A week or so ago, we watched Christopher Robin. And in that film, he begins to get so taken up with his work that he says to his kids, sorry, I've got to work all weekend. I can't be with you. Until it dawns on him, he's actually losing his kids. He's losing his family. Same can happen with God, especially in Northern Virginia where life is so crazy and busy. Be careful to love the Lord. When's the last time you actually told him you loved him? Love the Lord your God. I love the verse in Proverbs 4:23 that says this, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the spring of life. Above all else, more important than anything else, guard your heart. It is a love relationship. Joshua said, if you want to be strong, if you want to be very strong, then be passionately in love with God. Don't be embarrassed about it. Be in love with God and guard that love. Connected with that, he says, the next one is in verse 12. Guard your relationships. If you're going to guard your love for God, you also, the other side of the coin is to guard your relationships. Do you see it in verse 12? But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. He said, if you want to be strong, then guard your relationships. For 26 years, I led the youth work in our church in Paul's Grove, as well as doing the full-time teaching. Hundreds of young people, and I mean that, hundreds of young people passed through our hands at that time. Today, out of the huge group of people, of those young people who are not walking with the Lord, the one single reason is because they got into a wrong relationship. Guard your relationship. Guard your heart. You know, Solomon wrote many wise things God gave him a special gift of wisdom. Trouble is, he didn't follow it himself. Married 300 women. I mean, can you imagine 300 mother-in-laws? I mean, the guy's stupid. He had concubines, and the trouble with doing that, he brought ungodliness into his home. He says, be careful who you marry. I believe in being blunt, because the Bible is. Watch your relationships. You know, the best dating advice I ever heard was this. Run hard and fast after God. And if somebody from the opposite gender can keep up with you, then start talking to them. God first. Guard your heart. Guard your relationships. Next, in verse 14, he says the sixth thing, if you want to be strong, is live for eternity. You see there in verse 14, now I am about to go the way of all the earth. In other words, he's saying, guys, I am realistic enough to know that I'm not going to be here forever. In fact, back in verse 2, he told them, I am old and well advanced in years. I'm about to go home. I'm about to go to glory. You need to be realistic. You know the way some Christians live, you think, they think they're going to be here forever. What we need to do is to invest in eternity. Why do we spend so much money, so much time, so much energy on things that will not last? He says, if you want to be strong, then live with eternity in mind. Invest in eternity. Some years ago, I took our young people from church on a mission trip to Spain. At the time, we were supporting a couple of missionaries in Madrid. And when we got out there, one of the things that the missionary Clive did for us was on a day trip, he took us to this really strange building. It was a round building. We didn't quite know what to expect, but as the group walked in, we saw it was surrounded by lots of coffins. I said, this is a weird place. He said, yeah. He said, every king of Spain since Philip II is buried in here. Now, Philip, I don't know if you know your history, but Philip II of Spain tried to conquer England. He sent a big armada of ships, but we sorted him out. Blooming Spanish. What are the things they're doing? But in all these coffins, there's one that's empty. And I said to the missionary, what's that? He said, that empty coffin is being reserved for the current king of Spain, Juan Carlos II. And I said, you know, it must be really weird when Wani boy on his day off comes in here and he looks around and he thinks, you know, I'm going to be in there one day. But what a healthy thing to do. You're going to be dead one day. Has that come through to you? So live for eternity. Live for eternity. Invest in eternity. Mark said that I've taught in public schools through my career. And every year I used to take my grade nines to the local cemetery. It's a bit of a dead-end lesson, but I took them in there. And we stood in the middle of this cemetery surrounded by graves. And I'd say, guys, one day you're going to be in here. And if you don't do your homework, it'll be pretty soon. While you still have breath in your body, get right with God. I don't know you. I don't know where you stand before God this morning. But I say the same to you. Get wise and get right with God while God still gives you breath in your body to do so. Live for eternity. Invest your time, your money, your talents, your gifting in eternity. You know, Frank Sinatra used to sing that song, I Did It My Way. Right now in eternity, he's desperately wishing he didn't. Do it God's way and live for eternity. And lastly, Joshua says this, if you want to be very, very strong, verse 14, then learn to trust God. Trust God. Do you see it there? You know with all your heart, and this links in with that last song we sang. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. How do we walk the walk of faith? Simply by trusting God. By trusting God. Learn to trust God. It's a learning thing. You think of your kids. As they have grown up, they've learned to trust. They learn to trust you. So he says, live a life of faith. Learn to trust God. He is faithful, but we need to trust him. That's how you're going to be strong. Don't trust human wisdom. Trust God. And maybe you say to yourself, how do I start? What is the starting point? Where do I start walking with God by faith? You see, I believe with all my heart that you're here today by divine appointment. You're not here by mistake. God wants to give you the greatest message that ever hit the human race, which is the gospel. And the gospel of Jesus Christ says this, the starting of faith starts at the cross. I become a Christian at the cross. Because I come to the cross not bringing anything of my own, not bringing any merit. You talk to most people outside of church life, outside of church world, for some reason they're convinced that they can earn their way into God's presence, into heaven, into his favor. They do, they believe that. But the Bible says you can't. You come with nothing. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to your cross I cling. And so today I ask you this. Make sure that while God has given you breath in your body, you come to the cross. Repent of the sin that separates you from God and put your faith and trust in him. Only he can make you right with God. So, how do you walk with God? You start at the cross. And it is such an exciting journey. Sure, it's tough. Sure, it's up and down. But it's an exciting journey. The Almighty God calls you and me to live by faith. It isn't just the missionaries, he says, live by faith. Every single Christian needs to live by faith and walk every day by faith, trusting God. I think it's an amazing fact that you and I can actually walk every single day with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a privilege. What a wow. And I hope you're deeply and passionately in love with him as you go on that journey. So what does Joshua say? If you want to be very strong, then this is what you need to do. You need to obey God. You need to live a complete life of no compromise. Secondly, he says you need to not copy the ungodly world around you. Be different. Let them think what they want about you. But don't copy the ungodly world around you. If you want to be very strong, then cling to God. You know, Fanny Crosby wrote that hymn, I must have the Savior with me because I dare not go alone. I need his presence with me and his arm around me thrown. Cling to God every day in dependency. Don't get leery and think you can face any day on your own. Or any situation on your own. Cling to God if you want to be strong. Joshua says, if you want to be strong, then love God. Develop that passionate love for God. Guard it. Let it grow. And in doing that, you've got to guard all your other relationships. Any relationship that impinges on your love for God is wrong. Guard your relationships. Learn to live for eternity. Don't just live for this life. It's going to be gone. You know, the yearbooks that the kids bring around when they're about to leave school. I used to write this in there. Only one life. It will soon be past. And only what's done for Jesus will last. Are you investing in eternity? Or are you just soaked up with Northern Virginia life? Live for eternity. Invest in eternity. And he says, if you want to be very strong, and learn to trust God. Walk a life of complete dependence, a life of trusting God in every area of your life. Joshua, though being dead, still speaks. His message is alive today. And Joshua says this to you and me: be very strong, or be a wimp. It's your choice. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word that is powerful, more up to date than tomorrow's newspapers, because by Tuesday there'll be history. But your word is alive and powerful. We pray that by your Holy Spirit, you'll not let the seed of your word be taken away. May that go deep. May it change us, and may it make us more like Jesus, as we offer it in his name. Amen.